Hello, and welcome to today's edition of the ILM podcast, View from the Top. I'm Isabella Griffiths, I'm the editor of International Leathermaker, and in this podcast series, we aim to provide valuable insights on the global leather industry, as well as give perspectives and viewpoints from some of the key figures within it. We upload several free-to-download episodes and audio articles each month on the most pressing and pertinent topics that are affecting the leather sector right now. So please check out this platform regularly for new content. This podcast is presented in association with Dutch leather chemical specialist Smit & Zoen, and its CEO, Hans van Haast, is joining me today to talk about the company's latest exciting venture, the launch of its new tanning concept, Zoology, as well as his views on the key developments and trends within the wider leather industry.
Hello, Hans. A very warm welcome to the ILM podcast. Thank you for joining me today. I think it's fair to say that you have been rather busy of late with a big new product launch, so I very much appreciate you finding the time to talk to me today. Before we dive into all of that, could we start with a little bit of background about you? Could you tell our listeners a little bit about your professional career, your role today, and how you ended up working in the leather chemicals business?
Yes. Thank you for this question. Well, I've been working all my career in the process chemical industry. I'm a chemical engineer by education, and really for the past 30 years already worked in chemical industry and large corporate chemical companies. And during my career, I came into contact with Smit & Zoen. They asked me for a position in their supervisory board. And that is how I got into contact with the company, also with the Smit family, and learned about the leather industry. And at a certain point in time, Mark Smit asked me whether I would be interested in joining Smit & Zoen and help drive and move the company forward. And basically, the rest is history. At a certain point in time, I said yes and joined Smit & Zoen in my current role as CEO of Smit & Zoen Group.
So it sounds like a long chemical career, really. So you're certainly an expert in this field. So as I mentioned in the introduction, Smit & Zoen has recently launched a new product, Zoology, under a new subsidiary, which is called Nera, which is not just an extension of your product portfolio as such, but also a first venture for Smit & Zoen specifically into the tanning sector, in addition to your already established wet end and finishing brands, Smit and Codieco. Could you outline for us what Zoology is, what Nera is, and the key benefits of the concept, and how, first and foremost, it differs from conventional tanning systems? Because you are calling it a game changer and a new standard in sustainable leather. So why is that?
Okay, long question, probably long, yeah. long answer as well. You're correct. Smit & Zoen traditionally only active and participating on the wet end retanning part and the finishing part. 4 years ago, we were presented the opportunity to acquire some intellectual property, some patents. When we looked at that, we decided that it would be a good opportunity for us to become active in the tanning segment of the value chain, where we were absolutely not participating. And we also decided that fitted very well with our vision and our strategy to make the leather value chain sustainable. Our whole strategy is driven by that, and a major impact on making the value chain sustainable you can have when you also participate on the tanning part and on the beam house side. And so that basically triggered something different and something completely new in Smit & Zoen. And that is also why we early on decided to create a new company. At the time, it was, I forget, we started with NUCO, and then it became Smit Tanning BV. And then when we went to the market, we needed a little bit more fancy a name for it, and a name which we could use in the marketplace. And that is how Nera, New Era, came about. And like you said, yeah, it's really the third branch under the Smit & Zone group, next to Smit for the wet end, Cogeco more focused on the finishing side. Now, and within that company, really where we've worked on is create a new, a different tanning agent based on zeolite. That is the IP, that is the patents we acquired and we developed ourselves. And zeology, that's the name of the first product that we're putting into the marketplace. And we've chosen that name because we want to be transparent. It's very clear, I think, that it is about zeolite. And the ology really reflects that there is IP, there is knowledge, there is a lot of detailed research as a foundation under this new new product. And that is, in short, how we got to NERA, New Era, as the name of the company, and Zeology as the name of the product, which we are now now introducing. And specifically, we've chosen for names which stand out a little bit, because of course we're proud of what we've done and what we're doing. We clearly want to attract attention in the market in the marketplace, and I think we think that with those two names, we will get that attention in the market.
Absolutely, it sounds like quite an interesting and exciting development, both for the company and for the industry as a whole. The key difference, if I understand correctly, with Zeology is that it is chrome, heavy metal, and aldehyde free. Why is this so significant for the leather industry?
Now, I think so. Specifically, we set out to create something which is different. So it's not a modification of something which is already there. So we have created something which is different and therefore offers selling points, unique selling points, qualities to leather producers, which is different from what they get from chrome tanning, from vegetable tanning, from tanning with aldehydes. So I think that's an important point, that we really put zeology to the side of all these other tanning mechanisms. So we're not necessarily saying that aldehyde tanning is bad or that chrome tanning is bad, because all the tanning systems have their attributes. They have their excellent points. They have points which might need to be improved. So that's how and why we created zeology. Well, the key differences are on many levels. Zeolite is a completely different material, a completely different tanning mechanism, which we are explaining in a movie which we have released. And through that different tanning mechanism, it gives several benefits. One on the leather properties, on the leather properties side. For instance, the leather is extremely white and extremely bright, which offers the possibility to make very light and bright colored leathers with very thin finishing. It has environmental benefits. Zeolite basically consists of the same elements as you can find in soil and in the earth's crust. So if you put that back to the soil, you're not putting something in the soil which is different from what is already there. And the uptake of chemicals in the wet end process is very, very high. So that gives an advantage on the water treatment side. So if you step back from it, zeology gives advantages on leather properties. It gives advantages from an environmental perspective, and it gives interesting appearance of the leather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. I mean, you've covered quite a lot there already, but I mean, the interesting aspect I think is that it's got both the environmental and sustainable side of the tanning, but also the performance of the leather itself, and which is combined in this new system. And I know from a previous conversation with you, you were very keen to stress that zoology isn't really so much about bashing or being negative about chrome, but really offering an alternative, isn't it? But on the subject of metal-free, which is obviously an ever-occurring topic really in the industry, is the demand for metal-free driven by maybe outside pressures from brands and ultimately consumers as well, and maybe also misinformation about chrome tanning? Is there a need to deliver alternatives?
Yeah. Like you pointed out, we're not doing chrome bashing, because there's many tanneries around the world who use and have been using chrome tanning for many, many years, and do that in a very responsible and a very, very good way. And I think from an environmental footprint perspective, the tanning operation itself with chrome, if you do it right, if you use the right technologies, there's not a lot of critique you can have on that. I think the interesting thing with zeolite tanning is that when you have the waste streams like the trimmings, like the shavings, but also the leather articles at the end of their life, you can decompose it, you can make compost out of it, you can biodegrade those streams, and you can put it back to the environment, and there is no chrome. There are no heavy metals in those streams. So that way you create ways to take heavy metals out of the environment. And although in zeolite, we really upfront with that, in zeolite there is aluminium and silicium, but aluminium and silicium are also in sand, and aluminium and silicium are in glass and in ceramic materials. But the aluminium and silicium have lost, because of the structure, they have lost their metal-like properties. And that is why chrome or zirconium or titanium or all the other metals you're using, aluminium you're using for tanning, is different than tanning with the zeolite. Now, then on the pressures of metal free, I think it's driven by the fact to eliminate metals from the waste streams, and therefore eliminate metal from getting into the environment. Yeah, we see that driven by the luxury brands, so ultimately driven by the end consumer. But recently, I think in China, you see a lot of pressure from the government to reduce chrome levels in waste streams, restrictions around the transportation of chrome containing waste, and that also increases the demand for an alternative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, there's, as you said, there's certainly growing interest from brands and consumers, especially into how leather is being made and produced. And I'm guessing so the more sustainable and environmentally friendly that process is, and specifically the tanning process, the more this will go towards improving the overall image of leather as well, for sure, isn't it? So it has probably huge significance that there are more and more alternatives and more of a push towards that. Indeed. Zoology has been in development for several years, you said 4 years by now, with quite a relatively big team and in collaboration with other institutions as well. You've also worked with several tanneries across the leather industry, from automotive to leather goods to fashion, footwear and furniture. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? What has been the uptake and the experience and the feedback from the initial launch so far?
Yeah. Now, zeolite tanning is not new. I think in the 70s already some people experimented with it. At the time there was not a lot of traction, at least it did not get into the marketplace. And I think the companies from who we acquired the IP and the patents during the past 10 years some more work on it, and really drove it to at least part of the solution we have today. And when we started taking it into the marketplace, it was about 2 years, 2 years ago, after we had made some improvements to the products which were already available. I can say that there was immediate interest. There was, I think they were all skeptical. Basically, they couldn't believe what we were claiming, because I think we're pretty much making a big claim. And I think with all the tanneries we've worked with since then, step by step, we have proven that the claims we were making were true. And we're really there. With those tanneries, we have also been uncovering other benefits which we did not have on our radar screen. Very clear that this is not a product which you just take, throw at the tannery, and which they can start using immediately. I think you need to really have the concept of wanting to improve the entire value chain, because there is benefits at every step in the value chain. You need to have an open mind to uncover those, to discover those, and translate that to your own specific situation. And that takes some time, that takes a while, but all the tanneries who have been open to that and who have been willing to work with us in that discovery, I think all have been very, very positive, and the initial ones we worked with are now commercially using the product, albeit still on a small scale. But we have made the transition from, hey, this is interesting, doing a small test, to really commercial size application.
Mm-hmm. And that is across the whole spectrum, automotive to footwear to fashion, all of them, and it works beautifully across all of these, does it?
That is correct, and also there, that also has been a discovery process also for us. When we started working with this, we found that you can make extremely tight leather with it, extremely tight. Also translate into stiff and hard leather articles, and it really took us a while to figure out how to make soft leather. Now, in the meantime, we've done that with some of our partners in this process. So yes, we can make all articles on all the raw materials by now. But again, it has been a process, and I think that process has just started. I think we are just scratching the surface of what is possible with this technology, and therefore we've created a new company, and are not just launching a new product, we're launching a new technology which hopefully has a long future with discoveries, improvements to be made and to be uncovered.
It sounds like as product launches go, this has been a very positively received, really, considering also the circumstances. You know, I know you wanted to launch this much earlier in the year, and you wanted to launch it face to face at trade shows, and then obviously the pandemic happened and we all had to change how we do business, how we do product launches, and you still managed to, you know, connect with the industry and digitally and all of this. So I guess you had to do a rethink, but it sounds like by all intents and purposes it has gone well. How many tanneries are you working with at the moment then?
I've lost count a little bit, but somewhere between 40 and 50 tanneries are in different stages of exploring the benefits. Some have done their first test. Some have already done the scale up to commercial size. Some are actively using it, and anything in between. Typically, what we find is that doing the tanning is relatively straightforward. You need to make some changes in the beam house and in the tanning process itself, but those are minor. What takes time is to tweak the retanning and the finishing processes to arrive at the article the tannery wants to and needs to have for their end customers. And because the tanning system and the tanning platform is so different, you need to do things on the wet end and the finishing also differently to really exploit the benefits of the system, and at the same time get to an article which more or less looks the same as the articles which you're making with Frome or GDA or any other tanning platform.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I think the fact, as you say, that Zeology is relatively very compatible with existing systems and needs some tweaking, and obviously you're providing that technical assistance, but that certainly will be an interesting proposition. Is Zeology suitable for all finished leather product segments as well, and also all skin and hide types then?
Yeah. Initially, we worked on bovine material. Did quite some work on bovine material. More recently, we started with other types of raw material. I think there are some interested tanneries working with salmon skin, kangaroo, I've heard, but also sheep and goat. We're doing actually quite some work on that that right now, and there it works perfectly as well. We have also, on a commercial scale, demonstrated full substance tanning, and one of the tanneries which is commercially using Zeology today is doing full substance tanning on commercial large bulk scale. So yes, it works across all the different raw material sources.
So the possibilities are endless.
It all requires a little bit of tweaking, yeah? But like I said, on the tanning side, we basically see that is relatively simple, relatively straightforward. If you stick to some small modifications in the beam house, in the pickle, and in the activation, there was one tannery where we took this to. They did a small scale test, I think, with two hides that went very, very well. And then we immediately did the scale up to hundreds of hides. So we didn't go from 2 to 50 to 100, etc. We immediately went from a few hides to a bulk load. And that worked out pretty well. And we are getting more confident doing those type of things as well, because we see the robustness, we see the repeatability, we see the predictability of what this system can do and can achieve.
Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah. One of the things that caught our eye was that the ability to produce and to store and to ship zeolite tanned leather as an intermediary product. Can you tell us a little bit about what the benefits are across the supply chain compared with shipping wet salted or wet blue hides, for example?
Yeah. I think this is one good example of a thing which we discovered and uncovered along the way. I must also say that this is also one of those things where we're just scratching the surface of what is possible. We've focused most of our efforts today on doing the tanning and then making the crust and making the final article out of it. And we just started to work on the intermediate, storing the intermediate, and really making sure that you have an intermediate which you like wet blue can transport around the world. And if there's listeners who are interested to partner with us specifically on that topic, we could be well interested in that. What we have found is that in comparison with other wet white systems, you can indeed, if you do the activation after the tanning, if you do that the proper way, you can conserve the hide, you can dry the hide, remove a lot of the water, which of course, if you think this through, from a logistics and a storage perspective, could save a lot of cost in the supply chain. We have been making crusts from zeolite, the zeolite tanned intermediate, which has been in our lab for more than a year. You wet it back. Again, you need to do that the proper way. You wet it back, and you just continue the process. And I think that's where zeolite potentially offers significant benefits compared to, like I said, the traditional wet white systems, and maybe it can get close to a lot of the rationale behind wet blue, which you can store, transport easily around the world. So maybe we have also here the key to create a completely additional trading platform on wet white. Yeah, and benefits will be in transportation cost, in absorbing ups and downs in demands, without having to go back to wet blue or to salted heights. We also know that moving salt around the world maybe is not the best thing to do when you look at the operation of water treatment plants around the world. Because there the salt comes out and is a major major factor in the operation of water treatment plants.
Yeah, absolutely. I think with more streamlined shipping logistics and transport, there will also come undoubtedly environmental benefits and reducing the environmental footprint that transport in itself brings, isn't it? So that's certainly another interesting aspect of this. To stay on the topic of environment, how would you describe the environmental credentials of zeolite tanned leather compared with other leathers and non-leather materials? What about things like end-of-life properties and benefits within a circular system?
Yeah. Now, the interesting thing we're finding is that although you can store the zeolite intermediate for a very, very long time, if you process it correctly, we're also finding that compostability and biodegradability of the intermediate zeolite and the crust you make from it is very, very good. When you expose it, right temperature, right humidity, microorganisms, it really decomposes as quickly as pure collagen. Currently, we believe that is because of the tanning mechanism. The tanning mechanism is basically a micro coating of the collagen fibers and not a cross-linking type operation. So we're finding that we're doing quite some work right now on compostability and biodegradability. It's obviously very much influenced by also the chemicals and the processing steps you take on the retanning and the finishing side. That is a very interesting concept. We're also working with a safety shoe manufacturer who is already very far advanced in taking back safety shoes end of life, taking them apart, and for them taking the leather and then making maybe compost out of it, putting it back to the soil is a possibility to close another loop in the whole process of making safety shoes. Again, this is one of those things we're just starting to explore the possibilities and really just scratching the surface of what might be possible. But we see very interesting features there, which you don't see with chrome tanned leather or with GDA tanned leather, or at least to a different extent.
Yeah, I think, as you say, the whole biodegradability, you know, as a topic and end of life considerations, all of this will become a lot more prominent over the next few years. And I think it will become integrated into the whole design and conceptual process of leather goods from start to finish. And a number of brands are already pioneering new approaches in this respect. So I think this is certainly an area where we can anticipate further developments. And hopefully, again, this will go further in also in differentiating leather and, you know, the sustainability of it and those credentials from synthetic materials and essentially plastics, which don't have any of that.
Correct. Yeah. And we can't point out, I think, often enough to people from outside the industry that the hide itself is a byproduct of the food industry, and conceptually it is a very good material to work with to create a circular material of construction for consumer articles. And we believe that with the zeolite tanning product and technology, and we can help make another step in closing part of that loop and creating more circularity in the whole chain. And when you start looking at the waste streams, the shavings, the cuttings, but also at end of life of leather articles.
Yeah, interesting. So the Zeology was launched in October 2020, which, as we said, was delayed from your original plans. So how far are you in terms of full industry rollout and what are the plans in terms of the scalability of Zeology?
Yeah, now, like I already mentioned, we're working with between 40 and 50 tanneries right now. I think over the past month, in the social media, the magazines, I think most of people active in our industry must know and will know that we're working on something new, something different, which is already in commercial use by some. And what I see is that many of our customers and potential customers see in this technology an opportunity to differentiate themselves from others, and maybe also to get a little bit more quick out of the situation they got themselves or we got ourselves into with COVID-19. I think in terms of product availability, we can't supply the whole world, but we have a commercial size plant. We have plans on the drawing board, even beyond that, to debottleneck the production capacity and scale production capacity for this product as demand increases. I think the limitation right now is the number of technical personnel we have. To support the testing and trials, although COVID-19 also has forced us there to look at different ways to do things. I think traditionally you would take a sample, go to the customer, and with our people there physically present, you would run the trial and take it from there. Over the past few months, we've develop models and ways of working that we do this remotely. So with the documentation we have, with the instructions we have, with the IT tools which are in place today, we can do a lot of things already on what we call remote control. Although at the end of the day, for people who make leather, they really like to touch it. They like to touch it and make the conclusion on whether it came out okay or not. But I think the combination of those two is really beneficial to us and to the customer. And COVID-19, I think, has slowed down a little bit the introduction. But increasingly, I now see it gaining traction, gaining speed. And hopefully a little bit of travel will be possible again moving into 2021, and then we can further accelerate. We definitely are ready for it. with the tools, with the knowledge we have, and the production capacity, we also know how to ramp that up.
Yeah, I think everyone had to become a little bit more inventive into how they communicate and trade and everything. But in terms of the market rollout, it will be a controlled way in which you will be rolling out, and you will be not flooding the market with it. But I think, if I understand you correctly, you will be looking for the right partners that sort of fit the wider agenda as well and fit different criteria.
Yeah, we have also specifically chosen for the model that we're not just going to send out samples for people who would like to try. So a sample comes with the whole package of technical support. We have defined the focus on where we want to roll out first, and where we want to focus on first. We're not going to sell this product via distributors, so we will do this all as direct business of our new NERA organization, because we believe it is important to get the knowledge, get all the insights, really understand the research and development which is under it, which is its foundation, also to really get to the benefits in the whole chain. This is not just a different way of doing tanning. It has impact throughout the chain. And we want to make sure that when prospective customers, new customers start using this, that they really look at it from that perspective. And that's also why we call it a potential game changer. It is not one product you take out, you put another product in, and that's it. No, there's implications throughout the whole chain, starting from the end consumer to the hide leaving the slaughterhouse.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Let's move on from zoology and maybe look a little bit at the wider context of Smith & Zone and the leather industry as a whole. Obviously, 2020 has been a year like no other for most of us, and certainly a difficult one to navigate. How has business been overall generally and at Smith & Zone, and how have you steered through these turbulent times? How have you adapted the business? I mean, you've already mentioned a few of the aspects that you had to adapt, but what else has been going on?
Yeah, no. The year 2020 really started strong. We had a very good first quarter, so very optimistic. And then basically in the second quarter, like most of our competitors and actors in our value chain, we fell off the cliff. I think there was even one month that we had negative order intake, more order cancellations than orders coming in. I think as an organization, and we're a relatively small, agile organization, so we were very quickly to adjust and ramp down without having to do forced layoffs. So by now I can say that we got through this COVID-19 crisis in 2020 without having to do forced layoffs of people. But we really tightened the belt, tried to save cost everywhere possible. And fortunately, after some very difficult months in the second quarter, in the third quarter, step by step, we saw order intake and business activity picking up again. Also driven by the fact that I think a lot of our commercial people, technical people, started quickly looking at what you could do without traveling, using online tools, creating online ways of showing customers, potential customers, new articles, new developments. So yes, we have been quite creative, figuring out the new normal, and overall, 2020 will never go in the books as a great year. But I think everything considering, we're satisfied, especially with the fact that, like I said, we did not need to do significant restructuring. We did not need to do forced layoffs. I think apart from the order pattern, which everybody has seen, I think it has become very, very evident that how this value chain is financed with in places not so good payment morale, very, very long payment terms, that is not a sustainable model. And I think a lot of our value chain participants quickly got into trouble from a cash flow perspective. And that went as a tsunami through the value chain. And so one of the learnings for us, but I think one of the learnings for the whole industry, is that we really need to reform how we finance and how the whole value chain is financed. And there, I think we also need to step into the new world and into the modern world and do things in the leather value chain as you should do them in a modern, attractive, progressive, innovative business. I think we collectively need to learn and need to act.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's been certainly a challenging year for everyone. But as you say, you know, some businesses, or hopefully a lot of businesses, have managed to adapt, and we've all learned many, many lessons in this. And it's good to hear that Smit & Zohn have actually managed to steer through this quite well. Do you think the pandemic will have changed the leather industry and business overall long term? And if so, how?
I think it's very, very easy to fall back to old habits and old bad habits. But I think this situation has now lasted for such a long time. And we have really discovered that we can do things differently, like maybe less travel. Are all the fairs and all the meetings where large groups of people physically get together, is that now really necessary? Or can we have more frequent contact using webinars, using online tools, using podcasts, things like that? I think that is one learning, and definitely we are talking about and are very keen to keep that element in place. I think we also, I already mentioned cash flow management in the chain, but yeah, we can't do that alone. We need to do that together. And I think the unpleasant experience we've had in the second quarter has woken up more people and more players in the chain than just us. So I think that is something we really need to act on. I think we also got to the realization that these global supply chains have their advantages, but also their disadvantages, and that local for local production, R&D, customer service also has its benefits. And that is something we're acting on right now in China, in India. Maybe make some of the products locally, which we before COVID would have made in the Netherlands, because you see that disruption in transport and supply chain is also killing for the participants further on in the supply chain. So I think some of the things will stay. Some of the things will go back to how it was, but in general, when I talk to people, to customers, to competitors, I think everybody has come to the realization that there's quite some improvement we can make together, and the COVID-19 crisis definitely has been the wake up call and a way to get to the realization that. In the leather value chain, as a very traditional industry, there's big steps to be made to make it more modern.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a very good and very fair assessment, really. I think especially in terms of the digitalization of so many aspects, especially communication on the one hand, but also the commerce side, the actual trade side, and really embracing right. E-commerce for the industry, which has been very slow to adapt to this. I think this will certainly be one aspect that we probably won't be able to leave behind and just get back to how we used to do things. This will certainly be something that many more people will have to learn to embrace, isn't it?
Yeah, and definitely also for NERA, for Zeology, as something new. There we also will be looking for at using e-commerce and maybe customer portals to help facilitate the supply chain. That's something for the years to come to look into and implement.
Yeah. Do you see any next big mega trends emerging, either across the leather industry as a whole or specifically in the chemical segment? And if so, how do you, as Smit & Zone, respond to that?
I think one of the trends definitely is bio-based renewable products. I also think that area is being explored, but there is a lot to learn and a lot to discover and uncover, and that is also an area where we as Smit & Zone are increasingly doing work, looking at whether we can use byproducts from the agricultural, from the food industry, to make products which have a different footprint, but similar contribution to the properties of leather. Also, in the tanning area, zoology is the first product we are introducing. There will be many others, and we're also looking there at bio-based renewable tanning agents to be introduced towards the future. Also, a big challenge there is the finishing side, and I think recently there are some interesting developments in that space as well. Really, with the intention and with the ambition and the vision to make a leather article which we can make fully circular at some point in time. And I think that's the big trend, and not only in the leather value chain, but you see that in a lot of value chains in today's world. Definitely the way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. That also to be desirable, and in the wider context of sustainability and just generally reducing the environmental footprint of how we produce anything, I think the bio-based solutions, as you say, will certainly be quite high on the agenda. It's interesting to hear your view in this respect, really coming from a chemical insider perspective. So that there's certainly a lot of exciting developments in the pipeline. And so on a closing note, what are your plans going forward or specifically in the year 2021? I think we're probably all hesitant to look beyond too long a time period, because if there's one thing we've learned this year is that you can't plan for anything, I think, from the pandemic. But I understand Smit & Zone is celebrating its 200th year anniversary next year. So have you got anything planned around that?
Yeah. We talked about NERA and zoology. That definitely is a big thing for 2021. We will continue to do that. We will continue to play our role in the industry organizations and really contribute and actively contribute to making the leather value chain socially and environmentally sustainable. We will just continue to work on that. And yes, you're right, we will celebrate our bicentennial May 8th of next year. Also there, preparations were thrown a little bit off because of COVID-19, but we are initiating a number of activities towards that 200 year celebration. We recently launched a design contest design challenge in the leather area. You will be able to find that online. And COVID-19 and travel permitting, there will be things and events celebrated around the world. Because it's not every day that your company reaches 200 years, and definitely for all the employees and for all the supply chain partners and customers, I think only once in a lifetime you will be able to celebrate 200 years bicentennial with somebody you work with. So it will not go unnoticed.
Yeah, certainly. I think reaching a 200th anniversary for any business in any sector is no mean feat, especially when you consider what kind of ups and downs and crises this must have meant and, you know, lived through. So, yeah, congratulations on that front. And it sounds like there is still lots going on at Smith & Zone, and that you will certainly continue to be busy, Hans, and that we'll certainly hear more from your company in 2021. So I guess we can only just watch this space, I guess. So on that note, I think we've covered quite a lot of ground today. Thank you very much, Hans, for your time and for talking us through the latest developments and plans at Smith & Zone. And yeah, we look forward to seeing and hearing more from your company and from you over the coming months. So yeah, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak.
If you have enjoyed today's podcast, then please consider subscribing. You can download a whole series of podcasts and audio articles from ILM's View from the Top series, which is available through the ILM app, Spotify, iTunes, and Deezer. A link to the podcast can also be found on our internationalleathermaker.com homepage in the top menu bar.